Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
I'm going to jump right into it this morning, so if you would, and your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 5. And once you get there, you can find verse 22 and put your thumb there and then turn somewhere else. But we're going to go back there this morning. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We'll go back there in a moment. But I want to start, I want to have you go now find John chapter 13. For all of you that do it on your iPhone, that was completely useless for you. But everyone else and still brings the Bible, you know. There you go. You can put your mark a page. Hallelujah. John chapter 13, looking at verse 34. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, starting in verse 34. So now, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Flipping back to Galatians 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we begin to see what the Holy Spirit produces, we see in John Jesus saying, this is the new commandment I'm giving you, to love one another. We have to begin to understand how important it is that we are seeing this fruit produced in our lives. When I look at the New King James Version in John, looking at verse 35, it says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. By this. You know, I began to think by that. By what? By this. It says love. But I also believe that by this, by joy, people will know you're my disciples. By your peace, I believe people will know that you're disciples of Christ. When you exercise patience, I believe people can see Jesus in you. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples. It's important that our life shows the world Jesus. That's why when you walk out of here and you see our core values on the wall, listen, love, and live. Life is so important that we live a life that is pleasing to Jesus and wins the respect of others. Because only through these things will the world know that we are the disciples of the Lord. They won't know because you have a bumper sticker on your car. They won't know because you have a little WJIE thing up there. You know, you're not telling the world you're a disciple. You know, they're not going to know that you're a disciple of the Lord because you have a t-shirt on. Okay? I'm not knocking any of those things. All those things are wonderful and you can do all those things. But that's not how the world knows that you're a disciple of the Lord. It is by the fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit. But see, we live in a society where people are more lovers of themselves than lovers of others. They love themselves more than they love others. You know, when we see those that are hurting and those that are broken and those that need to be uplifted, most people don't want to take the time out to help those because we love ourselves and we want to do the things in our life that is on our mind. We want to do those things. Those things become more important. You know, and social media has done nothing but pour kerosene on the fire of loving yourself. You know, I mean, and I'm not beating anybody up that takes selfies unless I have to beat you up. Because if you're taking selfies just because you want attention, because you're lovers of yourself, and it makes you feel good when people are posting nice things about you. You're so beautiful. well, you're just, you know, you're just gorgeous and all these things. They're really not encouraging you. They're not trying to build you up. You're trying to build yourself up. And social media has just done this thing because they're creating this thing where people just love themselves and they want more attention on themselves. A lot of people are doing this to grab the wrong attention. They're not trying to find others to love them. They're trying to find others that lust after them. Lust seeks to get at the expense of others. But love seeks to give at the expense of oneself. Because if you love each other, guess what? It may hurt you. You may get hurt because love is vulnerable. If you love someone, you know, you're at the risk of getting rejected. You're at the risk of these things when you love people, when you love those. But if the love of Jesus is flowing through us, that is how the world will know we are his disciples. You know, when it says the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, it says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As I was studying that, because I told you I'd preach on the fruit of the Spirit last week, because I'd never done it, I got to thinking about something. That's the fruit. And I shouldn't have to preach to you about the fruit. That's the fruit. But you need to know about the seed. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit, as love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. But what about the seed? Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 4. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So I can't talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit because it says you can't produce fruit unless you remain in the vine. It says you're not going to have fruit. You're not going to have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness if you're not remaining in Jesus. And we have a society where people are disengaged from the Word of God, disengaged from a community of believers that will help build them up in their faith, so therefore they're not connected to the vine. They're trying to use the fruits of a Spirit like a checklist. But instead, we have to look at what it means to remain. Remain, in some of your passages, it says, abide in me. Abide in me. This is a picture of connection, a relationship. This is a choice that you have to make. Remain, abide is something you have to choose to do. You know, you got to choose to do that every day. You got to choose to have a connection, a relationship with Jesus. When he says, remain in me and I'll remain in you, he's putting it on you first. Remain in me and I will remain in you. I'm not going anywhere. But when we decide to disconnect from the Lord, well, it's been a busy week, Jesus. I'll get back to you next Sunday. We're not producing fruit because it says you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. It's not me telling you you're not fruitful today. It's right here in the Word. Because it's important that you understand that this is why we do discipleship. Because discipleship doesn't happen in a silo. It doesn't happen by yourself. Yes, you should read the Word. Yes, you should have a devotion. Yes, you should have a prayer life. But you cannot have discipleship in a silo. You can't disciple yourself because the things that you don't want to hear, you won't tell yourself. Well, I don't like that. I'm going to find something else to read today. But when you're in discipleship and when you're in group and when you're in community, all of a sudden they start saying, ooh, I don't like that. Well, you're not supposed to like it. It's supposed to work something on the inside of us. An author, Charles Davis, said a definition of a disciple is one who moves closer to Jesus as a learner, follower, and the lover together with other disciples. That's called community. Community. That we just went to a community tent revival, right? It was for the community. apostle just was sharing, that those that don't come together in unity will fall. Because what is community? Common unity. Pretty simple. Common. We have something in common, and we're in unity. We believe in the word of the Lord, and we're in unity. Amen. That's what disciples should be. That's what we're trying to build, community here in our church with our Accelerate Life groups. Why? Because we want you to understand what common unity looks like. When the disciples were together in the upper room, it says they were all together in one accord. Not a Honda, in common unity. Do you understand? They were together in common unity, waiting for Pentecost. You can't have Pentecost by yourself. It says where two or more gather together in my name, I am there also. People are trying to have Pentecost all by themselves. Trying to get alone. I just want to, you know, I do better when I reflect by myself. It's not the word of the Lord. We gotta change from moving from learning about Jesus to learning from Jesus. We've spent so much time learning about Jesus, but not learning who he is. We can learn about the fruits of the Spirit. I could preach on those today and give you a little checklist. And you could say, well, today I showed love. I was so nice to someone, you know, check. And then you kind of go down through the list today. Well, you know, I was kind. I've been kind. I didn't say anything too mean today, so, you know, I was kind. And then you get down and it's self-control, and you say, oh, you should have seen me exercise self-control today. I didn't tell them what I wanted to tell them, because what I wanted to tell them was, and then you start going off, and you start telling, you're telling someone else what you wanted to tell someone else, which also shows that there's still something on the inside of you that's not producing self-control. You just are using it as a checklist. I'm going to just check these things off. But if we are to love like Jesus, we have to know how he loved. When you look at Galatians 5 and you jump down to 25, verse 25, it says, since we are living by the Spirit, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. If we follow the Spirit's leading, if we follow the Spirit, then the fruit will be produced. If we follow the leading of the Spirit, the fruit will be produced. We're trying to produce fruit. We're going around trying to produce love, produce joy. No, follow the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces the fruit. We've had it all mixed up. We want to produce all of these things. We just try to produce patience in our life. I mean, has that ever worked for you? I mean, I need a seminar if it has, you know? Because if you think you can just, I'm going to be patient today. I'm going to produce. Inevitably, you're going to be the most impatient. Everybody in that Wendy's line is going to take 20 minutes. You know? I mean, everything. This morning, coming to church, driving down the road, car pulls out. There's no one on the road before me or behind me, you know, for like 5 miles. And this car pulls out in front of me, you know? And then they decided to go 24 miles an hour, you know, the next 2 miles, you know. I'm like, well, you know, Lord knows I was talking about patience today. See, that's what he does to you. He wanted to know, was I going to have any fruit today, you know? Did I honk my horn? I didn't honk my horn. I was really nice. I didn't say anything at all. Because it's the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit. The easiest way for me to describe this to you is through a phrase in Spanish. To know. To know. In Spanish, there are two phrases for to know. There is conocer. Conocer, which means to know a person. To be familiar with. And then there's saber. Saber is to know, but it's to know as a fact. And when you saber Jesus, when you saber Jesus. You know Jesus. Oh, I know him. Yeah? You know he was born of a virgin. Check. I know that he died on a cross. Check. He rose again. Check. I know that through him is the only way to salvation. Check. That's a good one. You know? I know he performed miracles. Great. We know, we saber Jesus. We know about the thing. And most churches, they stand and teach you about Jesus. They want you to know Jesus. They want you to saber Jesus. They want you to know the facts. But what about conocer Jesus? How familiar are you with Jesus? How close do you know him? We can know all the facts, but to know him, oh, that's conocer. That's conocer. You ever had that person in your life? That one person that rubs everyone else the wrong way? Everything they say, someone thinks, well, man, they're just so rude. Man, they're, you know, they can't get their sense of humor for nothing. You know, come on, you know that person. I want you to envision them real quick, you know, but because it's going to give you joy. But you know that person, but unless you're familiar with them, do you understand what they mean or their intentions or their heart? See, someone can say, oh, I've heard about them. I hear the way they do this, or I saw the way they did that. We can know, and it can rub us the wrong way, but when you are familiar with, you know that person a little differently. They don't mean it this way, or they don't mean it that. They're not yelling at you, you know. It's just the way they talk, you know. So you got to know Jamie sometimes to understand that Jamie is not mad at you. Because if Jamie is going to talk to you, and the more excited he gets, the louder he may get. And the louder he may get, somebody nearby will be like, I think they're about to fight. They're about to throw down, you know? But if you know him, if you're familiar with him, then you don't feel that way at all. You know that he's having a conversation with you and he's passionate. He's passionate about the things of the Lord. Amen? But you have to know someone. You can't just see something from the outside and get your facts. You got to be familiar with. We've got to change from sabering Jesus to having a conocer with Jesus, to being familiar with him. Because if you don't, Matthew 7, verse 21. Verse 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never conocered you. I never knew you because you never knew me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Jesus will say, I didn't know you. Oh, I knew you. I knew all the facts about you. I knew what you were doing. I know all the things you've said because he knows everything, right? But then he says, I didn't know you. Because I think many of us today can say, we don't know Jesus. We know of him. We know the facts. We can talk the talk. And some of us can even walk the walk because we know we're just following a checklist. Well, I'm supposed to go to church. I'm supposed to give an offering. I'm supposed to do these things. I've checked them off my box. It's just like the fruits of the Spirit. Well, I've showed love today. I've showed peace today. But the Spirit isn't producing it. We're trying to produce it. We're manufacturing it instead of just following the Spirit, living by the Spirit. When we live by the Spirit, we're planting seeds. We don't love to show fruit. We love to plant a seed. Oh, can you imagine how different that is in someone's life if they know you love them? It's not, I'm showing you love because I'm trying to show you my fruit. Too many people go to too many things just trying to show, see, I got love. I love like Jesus love. But we don't love, and they know it. Those that are lost can feel it when you're fake. It's because we're trying to check a box. We don't love to show fruit. We love to plant a seed. You don't have joy and peace in your life to have fruit. You have joy and peace in your life to plant a seed. Because when you're walking through that trial, you're walking through that burden, and you're walking through all those hard things in your life, and you still got a smile on your face, and you still have peace, and people say, why? How do you have peace? How do you have joy in this situation? And you can say, because of my Jesus. You're not trying to show the fruit. You're trying to plant a seed. Because guess what? One day they're going to go through a hard thing. One day they're going to have a trial. One day they're going to have a burden. And they're going to say, you know what? I saw someone else. And you planted a seed. I've seen someone else go through the hardest things in life that I could ever imagine. And they weren't woe is me. They had joy. They had peace. You're planting a seed. But if you go about the fruits of the Spirit trying to show your fruit, you're not planting seeds. You're just saying to someone, oh, it's so hard for me, but look how happy I am. I'm good. It's tough, but you know, praise Jesus. They're not seeing seed. They're seeing fake. Well, that's what you're supposed to do because you say you're a Christian. But when you plant a seed, they know. They remember that. The Holy Spirit will fertilize and water that seed that you plant. We exercise gentleness and self-control because we're planting seeds. See, our checklist that we should have for our life is the reverse checklist of the fruits of the Spirit. We should look at it and say, when I don't show love, what's the problem with me? When I don't love others that are different from me. When this November comes and me and co-workers get in a fight because we have difference of opinion on political views, I'm not showing love. Why don't I show love? Because there's still something inside of us that the Lord needs to work on. When we still have no peace in our life, we need to look at the fruit of the Spirit and say, if that's peace and I don't have peace, what's wrong? What in me still needs to be fixed? That's what the fruit of the Spirit's are for us. If it's not producing that fruit, we have to ask ourselves, why can't we check that off our box? If we're getting upset and screaming and yelling at our kids and fighting with our wife, we have to ask ourselves, why am I not gentle? Why am I not kind? If we have no self-control and keep falling into temptation and living in sin, and we have no self-control, we're not producing fruit. We have to ask ourselves, why am I not producing that fruit? Why is the Holy Spirit not producing that fruit in me? Because there's something that you need to deal with still. The fruit of the Spirit is designed for us when we see it not evident in our life, that we look at that checklist and we examine ourselves and realize that there is something on the inside of us that is not pleasing to the Lord. Oh, that's a hard one. You're supposed to just preach on love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, you know, all that fun stuff today. Right? That's what we want. That's what we want, but instead what we have to do is examine ourselves. Ask ourselves, well, why are we doing this discipleship? Because sometimes it makes you have to come face to face with ugly truths in yourself to say, I haven't dealt with that yet. I haven't dealt with that yet. I mean, and it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. I'm not standing up here saying that, but there's still things that aren't right in our lives. Every one of us. Because we're not producing this fruit in our lives with every person we meet. We need to be sowing more seeds, and the Holy Spirit will produce the fruit. I think we've always read that wrong. We thought we were producing the fruit. But it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Oh, you can try all day long to produce patience and gentleness and kindness. But if you don't have it in your heart, you're not kind. You have bitterness, you're not going to be kind to others. You may be fake for a moment, You can try your best to have patience, but somebody will get under your skin. They will drive you crazy at some point in time, and you will snap. And you will blow a gasket. Why? Because there's still something on the inside that the Lord needs to work. And you know what? It's okay. But what's not okay is not realizing it and dealing with it. When we look at this, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we have to say, God, I need to remain in you more. I need to remain in you more. I need to remain in you more. I need to abide in you more. I need to connect with you more. Because when I the deeper I connect with you, the more you reveal the things in me that are not pleasing to you. You think you're hiding those things. And you think you're doing a good job of hiding those things from me, your pastor. And some of you may. I may not know some of the things going on in your life. Some of you think you have us fooled and you don't. You know, we're just too nice to tell you. Some of you think you've got your spouse fooled. Oh, you think you've got them fooled. You think they don't know about the things you're doing. They know because they feel it in their spirit. You think. But when you come face to face with the things inside of your life, and you remain in the Lord more, and you remain in the Lord more, He'll reveal those things to you. Discipleship is about coming face to face with ourselves and asking, is the reflection that we see Jesus in me? When I come face to face with myself, when I come face to face with the fruits of the Spirit and say, do I see these? Do I see Jesus in me? Or do I just love people enough to make them think I'm a nice person? Am I just kind to their face? But soon as I turn around, I talk about them. Quiet today, man. Y'all thought y'all were coming in for a nice, easy sermon. If these are the things still happening in our lives, there's things that still need to be worked on in our lives. And it's no surprise that everyone has something we need to work on. No one in this room expects you to be perfect, and I hope you don't expect me to be perfect, because there's things I still got to work on. You know, I will say in the last 3-4 years, I feel like the Lord has really worked on my patience, you know, and I see major improvements in my patience. And it's the fruit that He's producing. It's not because I'm trying to be patient, because I'm not. I don't like that. You know, it's just I want to be an example of Jesus. And I know when I'm not patient, then I'm not going to be kind. And what comes out of my mouth is not going to be gentle. Right? That's how it kind of works. It starts to boil up those other things in our lives that we suppress for a while until we explode like a pressure cooker. It's all a matter of who you explode on. Is it a coworker? Is it a spouse? Is it your kids? We let these things just happen in our lives because we don't deal with them. But when we come face to face with the fruits of the Spirit and we use it as a checklist to ask ourselves, am I producing this fruit? Is the Holy Spirit producing this fruit in me? Am I laying down seeds of love? Am I laying down seeds of joy? Am I laying down seeds of gentleness, kindness, patience, goodness? Am I planting those seeds? If you're planting those seeds, the Holy Spirit will produce that fruit. John 15:4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. It's so important. It's so important that if we want to see fruit in our lives, that we remain in the Lord, that we stay faithful to Him. And I'm telling you, it is more and more that we need to have an understanding of the Scriptures, that we need to be more familiar with Jesus and not just know the facts, but be familiar with Him more and more as we see the end approaching. That's what the Word says. He says greater understanding will come during this time. But you got to search for it. You got to remain in him to have the greater understanding of what God wants to reveal to his people. He has so much revelation still in Scripture that we haven't discovered yet. Anyone that thinks that they know it all yet and they've studied it all and they've got it down pat, they're fooling themselves. There's so much that the Lord is waiting to reveal as the time gets closer and closer. So we have to remain in him deeper and deeper. This discipleship, it says it's not about growing up and building our church up. It's about growing down and building our foundation stronger. Our foundation is you. Our foundation isn't the church and our history. It's you and your life, your walk with the Lord. That's what we want to see strengthened. Because when we see that strengthened, we'll see the fruit. When we see that strengthened, you'll see the church filled. When you see that strengthened, you'll see more miracles. But it's we got to strengthen these things that are important in our lives. Remain in Jesus. We should have a desire to get closer and closer with him. Experience his presence more and more. We should not want to leave the presence of the Lord that was here this morning. It should be something we said we can't. We want more of it. You know? We want more of it. Sometimes, and we talked about this in our discipleship, sometimes we get in and we say, I don't feel it anymore, but we take for granted for what we do feel. We take for granted for what we do have. Because we get used to it. Well, you know. But you go anywhere else or somewhere else where the Holy Spirit isn't moving, and all of a sudden you say, man, I feel empty. I feel empty. The Lord doesn't desire for any of his people to be empty because he says, remain in me. And guess what? If I remain in you, you're going to be full. You're going to be full. If you say, I feel like something's missing, remain in me. I don't have joy. Remain in him. Abide in him. Connect with him. Conocer Jesus. My challenge for you to this week is to conocer Jesus. Get familiar with him. Some of you need to go on a first date with Jesus. You ever been on a first date? I hope so. I mean, you're sitting next to people that you're married to. I mean, hello, church. Hopefully you wouldn't arrange. You know, you kind of got to date them a little bit. I don't know. You go on that first date, and you're just like, what's your favorite thing to eat? What do you like to do? What kind of movies do you like? What kind of activities you're just constantly asking questions, trying to get to know someone, right? Because you don't want to you want to get familiar with them. But do we do that with Jesus? When we read the Word, do we just read the Word as we're seeing the facts, or do we read the Word and say, now why? Why, Jesus? Why did you do that? It's for his glory that he does everything. We have to ask ourselves the same thing. Do we do things for his glory or for ours? If we're sobering Jesus, it's just we know the facts about him. We're trying to tell everybody the facts. But when we get familiar with Jesus, you don't have to tell them anything because they'll see the difference in you. Do you want to conocer Jesus? Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you today. Because I hope that every person in here wants to know Jesus at a deeper, intimate level. That you want to remain in him. That you want to grow deep into him. That you want to get familiar with him like you've never been. And if that's your prayer, I believe that you'll begin to experience it. You'll begin to experience new revelation in the Word when you begin to read. You'll begin to experience new revelation in your prayer life. When you decide to know him more, stop reading for facts, read to know him. Let me pray for you. Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your Word. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that your Word is so true. And Lord, I thank you that you're showing us, Father God, that as we remain in you, Father God, that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, Father God, that you'll remain in us. You'll give us strength to go through every battle, for every burden that we face, Father God, because the fruit that the Holy Spirit is producing in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And I thank you, Father God, that as we exercise these things, Father God, that we're planting seeds in those that we're familiar with, those that are in our family, those that we work with, Father God, that we're planting seeds, Father God, and we'll begin to see those fruit in their lives, Father God, as we walk out what is good and pleasing to you. Lord, I ask that this week, Father God, that everyone's heart and mind is opened to know you more, to conocer you, to know you, to be familiar with you, Father God. I ask that as they read your word and as they spend time in prayer with you today, that Father, this week, Lord Jesus, that we'll know you more, that you'll begin to reveal yourself, Father God, to each and every person that is here today watching online that hears this message, Father God, that they'll have a desire, a hunger to be familiar with you, to remain in you, to know you personally, to know you deeply, Lord, to know you intimately. And when we do, Father God, let it reveal the things that are unpleasing in our lives, Lord Jesus. And let us deal with those things this week. Lord, let us deal with those things this week. We thank you, Father God, that through your word we find encouragement and strength. And I ask that today, Father God, we leave lifted up, built up, encouraged by your word. And we will see the fruits of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast, and visit our website at fwcbtown.org, or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.